Mick and MJ in the morning, brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet.
Just paying tribute to one of the institutions in this town. You know a lot more about it than me, but we've got one in Melbourne as well. It's the Royal Sydney Easter Show, which starts tomorrow. This is part of everyone's childhood growing up. What are your memories, guys? MG, do you remember your first show? What is it that stands out for you?
I remember it was in the 70s, and I remember it was like Christmas Day, saying, we're not actually going to the Easter show, are we, Mum? Are we going? So we had to save up for it. We went. The Dagwood Dogs, the rides, the Gravitron, the Zipper.
The Gravitron? Yeah. What was the Gravitron?
You jump on the Gravitron and you put your back against the wall, and then the ride would just go around. And
I love that one. And you used to wait for girls' skirts to fly up.
Yeah,
and there's nothing they could do about it because the centrifugal force would have them pinned to the wall. Oh, that was amazing.
And then the show bags. You'd finish off with the show bags. I'd go straight for the...
All right, we'll get to the show bags in just a minute. Hold on. I want to get other people's thoughts. Kat, do you remember your first show?
Oh, it was better than Christmas for me.
Yeah.
And, the show bags, I would spend an hour just walking around, and I got one. So Mum would say you get to pick whatever you want. It's true.
That's a harsh system.
You get one, and you walk around, so choose one. And I would spend 2 hours making sure I picked wisely. Oh, it was unreal.
What I used to love was the just the wide range of stuff you could get. You'd have the agricultural, the first chance to see a cow live for a lot of us.
Yeah.
Yep. And then immediately after a couple of laps of honour from some cows, Dale Buggins would come out and jump eight buses.
Yeah.
So you'd have a stunt man and then the Holden Precision Driving Team.
Yep.
And then you go to the wood chop, your chance to see grown men wearing singlets chopping a deer. I used to think, one day, that'll be me.
One day.
That should be an Olympic event, by the way.
Oh, 100%.
The wood chop. It was just a load of fun. Tash, what about were your memories?
Well, from the country, it's a great opportunity for all the wonderful country people and producers.
Oh, Mudgee comes to town.
Yes.
Yeah.
And then there used to be at Moore Park where it was its absolute best.
Yep. The actual showgrounds.
Yes. There used to be the Cattleman's Bar, which was very infamous that all the country people would go and meet at the bar and have a great time. But also, my favourite highlights, the CWA room within the exhibition because their scones were second to none.
So can I tell you this? My association with the Country Women's Association began and strengthened strongly during researching Cracker Jacks, which was a bowling film. Mm-hmm. So we used to go out into the country and regional Australia and go to all these things. The Country Women's Association used to put on the spreads. I've never tasted anything like it. I don't know what these women do, but they have magical powers. And if you walk up to a spread, this is so easy, you go, "Excuse me, Joyce, I want to say this is the best sponge I've ever had." Their pantaloons drop.
Oh.
There is just, they are, the, you.
Beautiful
all you do,
people.
If you can pay a compliment to a sponge or a scone, they literally light up. So, what's it going? Let's get to the show bags. What was your favourite, MG?
Sonny Boy and Cadbury's. Sonny Boy, because I love the Glug and the Raz and the. And the Sunny Boy and the Cranberries, of course, the Chockies. I love the chocolates.
All right, Kat, you could only have one. You'd have to choose wisely.
I'd often pick the Girlfriend magazine ones.
Yes. Yes, well, you had the free mag.
What is wrong with you?
No, they were amazing.
And then occasionally I'd get, because a Birdie Beetle show bag at that time was only $1.50, I'd often sneak that one in as well because it was so cheap. But did you know, I've got a fact, the Birdie Beetles are actually Violet Crumbles left over that they just crushed up and made into a Birdie Beetle.
Stop it.
What the f***?
What?
Yeah, take that back.
No,
that is.
Do not ruin this for us.
No, the Birdie Beetle, they were like, "What are we doing with all this leftover honeycomb and chocolate?" And then they were
okay,
like,
for cost of living, let's do it. So what do you say? It was $1.30.
Yeah.
What's a show bag today?
The Birdie Beetle is $25. And the NBA LA Lakers show bag, which is made number one on the list, is $36.
Wow.
Unbelievable. I tell you what, why don't you get involved? Give us a call. Tell us about your memories of the Royal Show. 133353. Let's get into it. We've been having a chat about the wood chopping during the break. Well, what were you saying? Who was saying they're sexy?
They are.
Yeah, they are in a weird way.
They can chop wood in a white singlet, sometimes smoking a cigarette. And
they would smoke a cigarette.
Yes.
They would sit there. Who can compete? What kind of athlete? Axeman, ready. Bang.
We had one of the world champions in Dave Foster for so long, and he's from Tasmania, and it was his birthday yesterday. Happy birthday, Davey, 67. And I know him pretty well. I know a mate of mine is his best mate, and the man is a giant. He's got a barrel chest. He's about 6'7". And I said, how do you do it? How do you balance? He said, I don't know, sometimes. Because that axe would cut your toes off.
Like, yes,
it's just so, so sharp.
Has anyone tried it?
They couldn't see their toes, those guys. They, look, put it this way, there's no institute of sport for wood choppers.
No. Have you ever tried it? Have you tried wood chopping?
I did, but I had to stop because I looked too much like Mellors from Lady Chatterley's Lover, and it drove the ladies
mad.
I used to love the dressage for the same reason. Those girls, hoity-toity girls on horses with immaculately groomed hair. Baby.
Something about
getting excited just thinking about it. Mark's on the line. Mark, what's your memory of the show?
Mate, being about 12 or 13 and getting on the chairlift and going right across the show and throwing food and chicken drink on people.
Yes, we're at the Royal Melbourne Show. We used to do the same thing. They were sitting ducks because you had drink, you had food, and you do it. Mate, it happened to me once, and when it happened to you, you used to run to the end of the chairlift to meet them when they got off.
Yes.
Hello, fellas, who threw that? Bang!
Not me.
Oh, that was a rite of passage. What about the ride? Did you have the Mad Mouse? We had a Mad Mouse in Melbourne.
Yeah, the Mighty Mouse.
Mighty Mouse,
It was called the Mad Mouse in Melbourne. And there's something about one of those rides that creaks.
Yes.
The creaks and sounds like bolts are coming out of it.
The Dodgem cars were really dangerous too. There were no OH&S issues with the Dodgem cars. Were crazy.
Yeah, no, there'd be just a big Maori guy jumping on the back trying to separate them once
turn the wheel with one hand. He's
that's right. Jump on your car and turn the wheel with one hand. give you a bit of a spray while you're at it. And they used to have all the competitions for the ladies. Miss Mudgee, she would come to town. Remember, they'd have the sashes. And, oh, God, it was a simpler time when everyone could happily cohabitate under the one roof without judgment.
100%.
Jeez. Oh, what a time. Warren's on the line. Warren, what do you remember?
Mate, I remember when they were free. They were sample bags.
Before the show bags.
Wow.
They were sample bags. You got free samples of all the wares they used to give you.
Do you remember the banks used to have one? There'd be a Commonwealth Bank one, and you get like a ruler and a money box.
Yes, a money box.
Like a money box. Good on you, Warren. Joy's on the line. Joy, what's your memory?
Good morning, everyone.
Yeah.
I was eight.
Okay. All right, no good. Joy's line's no good. Kevin's on the line. Kevin, what happened to you, buddy?
Mate, I remember the old Coke, Fanta and lemonade show bags, and you used to get that great yo-yo with it.
Yes.
Now, when it came to the yo-yos, were you a Coke or a Fanta man?
Oh, I was a Coke man, mate.
I couldn't afford the Coke. I was a Fanta man.
Leanne's on the line. Leanne, what's your memory?
I used to, my dad used to always buy me the little dolly on the cane stick.
Of course. Yes, that was fantastic.
And when I got older, my favourite bag was the Triple M bag.
Forgot we had one.
Yeah, we
still got one. Get the backpack, the coffee cup, whatever.
A balaclava.
Handcuffs.
Reese is on the line. What do you remember from the Royal Easter Show? Reese?
Morning, champions. How are you?
Good.
The invisible dog lead. Remember that? Dog lead.
How much useless crap could you buy? The invisible dog lead, and you'd just see people walking around, and get a laugh every time.
My old man was too tight-ass to ever buy one. I always wanted one.
Oh, you got to have one. What about all the inflatable stuff? You get like an inflatable baseball bat. What was the other one?
The hammer that squeaks when you hit someone with this.
Oh, great stuff. Tamsin's on the line. Tamsin, what do you remember from the Royal Show?
So I was on one of the rides that, like, spin you around, and I was with all my siblings, and all of my siblings had a massive, like, click when they got locked in. They got to me, it didn't lock in at the start, and then when they did it again, it had a small, tiny, like you could barely hear it click.
Oh. Yeah, that's not good. And a big shout out to all the carny folk out there who we place our lives in their hands. I don't know why. They look like people haven't been to bed for about 3 days. That's what we need to do. What about the dog show? We haven't mentioned the dog shows. They were good. Weirdest people in the world, right? Those people who...
Interesting characters.
Yep. Wonderful pantsuits. But my God, when you speak to them, it is like a conversation from another dimension.
Highly competitive.
A lot of those dogs wanted to be rescued. I felt Johnny's on the... Johnny, what have you got for us?
Sideshow Alley, guys. When I was a kid, they had this Sideshow Alley. The Spruiker was there, half man, half woman, the bearded lady, the two-headed cow. You used to spend your dollar on that stuff and get...
The House of Mirrors? Remember the House of Mirrors?
Mirrors.
Except they just some years they were better than others. Some years it was just a room with straw on the ground and about eight mirrors. And you go,
MG's Sport Report.
Yeah, round three of the NRL kicks off tonight, and it's a grand final rematch between the Panthers and the Broncos. But there
are three massive
injuries outs.
Yep.
Adam Reynolds and Payne Haas for the Broncos, and the best player in the world, who's been voted by his peers, James Fisher-Harris, will also miss tonight's game through injury. But there could be a milestone, Mickey, tonight.
It's a big game. It kicks off a big round that could be the first actual sellout in NRL history. Is that overstating it?
Well, rugby league is set to break a 116-year crowd record in round three. The NRL get as close as it's ever been in 116 years to selling out every game in a single round. Already seven games are shaping up as possible sellouts, the most ever in any round. That's obviously tonight. Panthers and
who needs to pull the finger out? Who do we need to? Where do we need to get people to go to?
The one that is the impossibility of making it is the Dragons and Cowboys at Jubilee Oval. They're expecting a crowd of 4,000, which is a good crowd. But they're
we can do better. Okay, there's something we need to deal with on the program. Mm-hmm. This has been brewing for a while, but it's time to step in. She's just arrived from the news booth. She's here to join us in the studio. Tash, this is... How are you, by the way?
I'm
great.
I'm great. It's been a tough week.
I'm just going to say that, and this is an intervention.
Yep.
Now, you know we love you, and we think the world of you. You have had a storied career over many years, and you've been a well-respected journalist on all fronts.
Yep.
But your behaviour lately is a little... What's the word I'm looking for?
Askew.
Alarming?
Cuckoo. Cuckoo. You've lost the plot. The Kate Middleton story has got you, and we're concerned that you have disappeared down a rabbit hole that you may never return from. Now, before you respond, and I don't want you to overreact, remember, this is coming from a place of love. We really love do care for you.
Yeah.
I'm just going to replay you some of the things that you've said over the last few weeks on this program, bundled them together, and then we'll talk about it on the other side. But you need to hear this.
Yeah.
It's trending around the world, people asking questions, what is going on with Kate Middleton? She had major abdominal surgery last year. They said she would not return to public life and public duties until April. People are concerned there's something going on, and I found this person saying she knows something's happening.
Within a day or so of Pluto having moved from Capricorn to Aquarius, and it's going to be there really now for the next 2 decades.
My source is an astrologer. My theory is something's happening and they're covering up, and we've had no official word from the palace. There is growing speculation she could have had a Brazilian butt lift. Princess Kate has been spotted in public for the first time in a car with her mum. We're not sure, though, where the photo is from.
And where were they going?
Well, we don't know. Apparently they were around Windsor, but there's been no details on exactly where they were papped, where they were going. It's not just me. A lot of royal commentators have questioned the timing of this. I'm just saying all is not well after Queen Elizabeth passed away.
Always question the authorities.
There is speculation. The photo they released yesterday, the Mother's Day photo.
You have been suggesting the photo was photoshopped?
No, I just said it looks a bit sus.
It's
historic. I've never heard of major news agencies doing this. They put out what they call a kill notification on the photo. First of all, the tree in the background had leaves. Wrong time. of the season.
On top of the season.
Charlotte's hand, everything was wrong with the photo. A zipper was mistakenly put on Kate's jumper. I don't understand what their end game is here. There is no real serious abdominal surgery. Why was she in skinny jeans in that photo?
Yes.
Why did the royal family throw her under a bus and why did they leak three fake photos?
There were reports yesterday Kate had been spotted at a farm in Windsor with Prince William.
Yes.
Has appeared of Kate and Will's walking around that farm in Windsor. The vision was obtained by The Sun and TMZ, which is an entertainment website.
Very reputable.
Kate looks very fit. She's carrying a shopping bag. She's in a gym gear. She looks very thin after undergoing abdominal surgery. But if she's fit and healthy and walking around, why would the palace release a fake photo of her?
So even now she's appeared in public with her husband and appears happy, you're still not done with this story.
I'm just saying, I think there's a lot of spin coming from the palace.
How can we believe that it's real?
This is breaking news out of the UK this morning. An explosive new report claims hospital staff tried to access Princess Catherine's medical records when she was in hospital.
Will never stop me talking.
You're right there.
So, all right, back live. Now, Tash... Yeah. Do you acknowledge that you have a problem?
I sound completely unhinged.
Yes, you do. We've been trying to tell you about this for, one of the great news readers and you're generally well researched, but you've gone barking mad.
I am one of millions around the world that is transfixed with this story. What I will say in my defence I wish Kate all the best. I hope she's recovering well. Why is the royal family putting out fake photos? I will never give up.
Okay.
Everyone does, but we say that everyone gives out fake, like everyone edits their photos. The Kardashians do it every day. Everyone does it.
You're not on board, MG. You don't understand this story. It's huge.
I know you're going away for your weekend this weekend and you won't have enough time in the day to get through your events. You're going to be in trouble.
Just please have a lie down.
I will.
That's all I ask.
Thank you for reaching out with me. It comes from a place of love.
It does.
Give her a cuddle, everyone. Yep, give her a cuddle. Can we do that on radio?
No,
I don't think we can. That's not a new competition.
Nope,
I can start.
Nope. Well, you're going to have to explain it now.
The mics weren't on then, were they?
Not when you said that bit.
That would have been a career ender.
Mix on board with my latest theories.
I'm not. Stop it. You need to stop.
Okay.
Okay, we're not going there again. Stop it with Kate Middleton. Try something else. What else can you bring to the table?
A study has found a surprising link between women's hair length and their sex lives.
Hello.
So this is my understanding is women with long hair have a lot more sex and better sex than women with short hair. Is that true?
That is true. The research is from South Korea, though.
Yeah. We didn't need an article to tell us that, did we, Tash?
No.
Given... Your short hair.
I'll hand over to Kat.
What about? What are you handing over?
Is this research true?
I've got long. You know what? I dated someone that whenever I cut my hair a bit shorter, he was put off. Like not in a. But he hated it. So it's. I don't know. Is it a feminine thing that you love a long?
No,
hair?
Long hair is better. It's it's that kind of. that film clip, like Librarian look, where you can have your hair up in a bun and then you just go whoosh, and you pull it down
and
all of a sudden you're hot for teacher. And then you've got the look that the Karen look that Tash rocks.
Oh.
You know, that kind of...
Harsh Bob.
The Harsh Bob. The Handmaid's Tale look, I call it.
Hey, Master, yes.
You know what I mean? Do you think that's fair? Like, what about, who I find, and this is a fascinating thing, you don't see many older women with long hair. There seems to be a point in time where women get to an age and they go, I'm going to cut my hair off. So when you see a woman with beautiful long hair and it's grey and she's older, it's quite, you go, it's interesting immediately because for some reason, women automatically, like a uniform, cut their hair when they hit a certain age. Is that fair?
Yeah. Is it maintenance? I'm assuming it's an easier thing to handle.
Less expensive.
If you've got something in your study as well, Tash, because however, it's bad news for men with flowing locks because men's hair's length doesn't influence anything about sex lives.
I think it goes the other way. The man bun is probably a deterrent for us. When you guys release your man bun, I don't go, oh.
What if it's, as Ola took, a business up the front, party at the back? Mullet. Surely the mullet gets action.
If you're a footballer, yes, that, and it's not for the mullet. For,
enough there for the ladies to hold on to. Well, that's interesting. What about the comb over? You'd find that.
Oh, no, men. That's a bad one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no. Don't think that's top of the list.
Or a wig that's gone too far. When you see a bloke who was receding 5 years ago, then all of a sudden he's got a full head of hair.
Oh, the toupee.
The toupee. Yeah. The toupee is very hot.
Yeah. Let's get rid of that.
Tash, I'm going to get you some extensions.
Oh!
There it is.
Why aren't the girls banging down your door?
Oh, my God. He is so attractive.
When I am in close proximity to other girls, I feel insecure.
All right, I've noticed a little bit of disappointment from the troops here this week. You, every time I walk into a room, you're cursing out someone. What's been going on? What do I need to know?
Yeah, I think our favourite couple is on the rocks. MG and I talk about this a lot. It's Tim and Lucinda. And it was home visit weeks, so you got to check out how someone actually lives in their own home, which they haven't ever done before. And, MG, I think you'll agree, when Lucinda walked into Tim's apartment, the relationship was pretty much over. Now, this is her perspective, and keep in mind, she is the nicest person on earth.
There's not really much room for a woman here, but do you know what's amazing about standing here right now? I can watch the biggest television in the world. I can do a bit of computer work, do a bit of my photocopying, grab my shoes, do a bit of fridge and shop. Like, it's just the one-stop shop.
Now, be honest, MG, what did that apartment really look like?
Well, literally like a dog's breakfast. If you had two dogs that have been in the house for God knows how long, weeing and pooing all around the apartment, and then he says, here, there's your food, and throws one of them a chicken wing, and he's eating that on the carpet. You walk out to the balcony, which is about 2 metres away, he's got a broken photocopier in his room. It's just a hovel. It was a shocking, shocking mess.
Sounds homely.
Oh, Mick, you would love this. In the middle of the lounge room was an office industrial photocopier.
And so
she said, look, what's this doing in this tiny lounge room? And he said, oh, the lease on it wasn't up yet, so I didn't want to throw it away. And she opens a lid and the glass screen is all cracked because he's been photocopying his own ass.
Oh, he's a keeper.
She's
lucked out.
It's amazing because she's been the most genuine person on the episode, and she's I was really hoping she'd find love, and I thought he was the man for her.
You sound genuinely disappointed they're not going to make it. They're set up to fail, you idiots. This is nothing. Hey, okay, here's a question without notice. How many relationships from previous years are still going strong?
Not many. Four, I think, out of 12 seasons or something. There's 15 seasons. Yeah, there's only four.
And only one have had kids? There's only one couple had kids?
Yes.
So they're pretty good. But you know, you know what you're signing up for.
Yes.
Imagine one from that litter. And, hi, Mum. Hi, Dad. How did you guys meet? On the trashiest TV show ever invented. You were conceived on air.
That's probably true.
What the f*** is going on?
God, you are not.
What the f*** is wrong with you?
Making MJ's what the
f***? WTF?
Listen to this. Indian ravers are using snake venom to get high. What the f***?
What?
No, I'm not joking. This is true. Youths in India are increasingly turning to snake venom as a substitute for traditional drugs after discovering that highs can last for several days.
Oh, wow.
How is that? So you'll be out at a party and someone will be coming up to you going, hey, what do you need? Cobra, viper, brown, tiger? Don't have anything poisonous right now, but I could wrap a python around your neck and he could squeeze you till you black out. Come on, you know you want it. You'll be getting kicked out by a bouncer. All right, mate, you've had enough bites tonight. Come on. I'm going to have to ask you to apply a tourniquet or get one of your mates to suck some of that poison out. But you have to go. Imagine seeing two blokes disappearing into the handicapped toilets with a taipan. All right, you two. What's going on in there? What kind of high? Oh, man, this is great. I can't feel my legs and my kidneys are shutting down. Dude, you want to try some of this? Dear, oh, dear. All right, what have you got?
A pilot has been jailed for 10 months after trying to fly a plane from Edinburgh to New York while drunk.
What the?
Okay. Yeah, it was 2.5 times the limit. He
kept 2.5 times. He would have been able to, you know. He should have flown the black. Should have flown the back routes. You know. No, he shouldn't have taken off. He just should have driven it up the highway.
Well, yeah, he was caught with 2 bottles of Jägermeister in his hand luggage, one which was half empty.
He landed the plane out the front of a kebab shop.
To pick up some snakes, yeah. I've got some audio of the pilot here. Does he sound familiar to anyone?
Hey, this is your captain speaking, Mickey. I know you've boarded this flight thinking you're off to Mudgee, but I'm going to see if we can push this baby to Vegas. We'll be cruising at a mile high today. The door to the club is straight down the end of the aisle, ladies. And lucky for you, I'm not wearing any pants today. So, buckle up, boys and girls. Next stop, Sin City's Crazy Horse. Fazay, Nicky, Whoopoo!
I'll see you. I will see you.
That's actual audio from the cockpit.
That's the black box recording, I would have thought.
Exactly.
All right, Kat, what have you got?
Bank of Ethiopia had a massive glitch which allowed customers to withdraw more cash than they had in their accounts. Oh. So currently the bank is chasing over $40 million that has been withdrawn.
What the f***? People will be honest and pay that back.
Yeah, of course. Apparently everyone's...
Remember that?
Everyone's moved it to other accounts.
100%. Yeah. Or just take the cash out and do a runner.
There was, I think it might have been in Melbourne, but there was a service station where a petrol bowser wasn't charging. It was just paying out. And they worked out when there was a queue of 200 cars to use this one petrol bowser, which is just, you know, just
a poker machine.
Good. Oh. But look, in this day and age, whatever gets you across the line. Right. Tash, what do you got?
A 23-year-old man in Taiwan has had his legs amputated to actually receive an insurance payout worth $1.3 million.
What the f***?
That's taking next level.
According to investigators, he immersed his feet in a bucket to get frostbite and then got them amputated for the payout.
So it wasn't paid,
very good. That's about 600,000 a leg. Well done. All right, you get the idea. 133353. Scott, want to get involved? What do you got?
How are you going? Colombian drug lord Pablo Escobar spent around $2,500 every month on rubber bands just to hold his money together.
Oh. What the? is that true? It is true.
Yep. Yeah. Wow.
That's a lot of money in rubber bands. Why wouldn't he just start a rubber band factory? Start his own or rob someone who owns a rubber band factory. That's a lot of rubber bands. That's a lot of money. Well done, Scott. You're in the hunt. Tim's on the line. Tim, what do you got?
The yo-yo was originally invented as a weapon.
What the f***? No, I'm not buying this. No, I'm getting a jury's out from the fact-checkers over here.
Please explain.
Well, what are you going to do with that? All right, stop where you are or I'll walk the dog.
I'll do the Eiffel Tower.
Yes. I'm going to go around the world and hit you in the noggin. Yo-yos. Do you remember when you were at school and the yo-yo team used to come to come to your school? And that's all you wanted to be when you grew up?
Yep.
Oh, man.
There is no historical evidence of it, Timmy.
Of what?
Of the yo-yo being the weapon, so there's no historical evidence of it, unfortunately.
Oh, you're fact-checking now, aren't you? We're taking your word for it. What happened? Who are you quoting there?
I'm quoting one of our producers.
I'm sending a message.
I hear you get paid so much for this station. You go through about $1,000 a month in rubber bands.
Oh, do you know that? Oh, fuck me. Oh, that's a pot calling the kettle black, brother. Also, Pablo Escobar used to have so much money that his daughter was cold one night, so he got all his $100 notes out and threw them in a fire pit and made a fire for her because she was cold.
What the f***? You know what? I want to say that's bad parenting, but
that's great parenting.
Well, hang on, that thumbs up. MG, you get $200.
Yay.
Well done. And you'll need one rubber band. That's it tonight.
MG's Sport Report.
Yeah, Travis Kelce, the Kansas City Chief superstar, who obviously is going out with Taylor Swift. Well, he's splashed out a little bit of money since he's met the rock star. Because
what on?
Well, she's worth $1.5 billion, so it doesn't matter what he buys. Nothing's going to come near what she's worth.
That's right.
He's posted, look, $20,000 on a crystal ornament, two boxes of roses, costing more than $3,000. But this is where it gets expensive. In October, he purchased a $6 million mansion that features a garage with space for six cars, a wine cellar, a pool, cinema, and all that type of stuff. He spent $1.2 million in private jets to Argentina, Australia, and Singapore, and he spent around $1.5 million for the Super Bowl suite for Taylor Swift and his friends and family. So all up.
Well, he's bought a house. Has he bought it for her? He's bought it for himself.
He bought it for himself, but with the, I think he bought.
You're saying he had to upgrade
a family house. A family house. Yes. Yes.
For he didn't feel comfortable entertaining her in the
in Tim's Tim from Married First Wives.
Right. I've always said this. Chicks are expensive.
Oh yeah.
You know. Am I right, fellas? Give us a call. 1-333-5.
No, do not call for that. Please.
They are high maintenance.
Let's go.
And a fair bit of nagging. Never happy.
Oh, look who's here.
Look who's just scorched into the studio.
I was just about to do the news and heard you with your little rant going on. Gee whiz.
I know. Tash, is it right? We are the least moody people in this studio.
Oh, she's coming to the studio like the Roadrunner. I'm just like, beep, beep.
You two are the most high maintenance people I've ever worked with.
Excuse me, you take that back.
I agree with you.
Gee whiz, you couldn't pay me enough.
Oh, look, Karen's just entered the studio. Do you know what we are?
Oh, what?
If I say this to my girlfriend a lot. You know what, babe? You've won the lottery.
Yep.
You have won the lottery. Because I am just the complete man and the ultimate catch.
If you have to tell us.
I tick every single
box. Do you?
Box.
So let's share on air.
Girls,
let's share on air what you did to your poor girlfriend last time you were out.
Oh, can I tell this story?
What was that?
Oh, when you were bar hopping with Sam Pang, and then it was like a Thursday night, and then she called you to say come home, and you said you've got to guess where I am, and so she had to visit about 15 different bars to come and force you to come home.
Well, if she knew me better, she would have known exactly where I was, and that's it. She doesn't pay enough attention.
Oh. So it's her fault?
Yeah. Yep. All right. Good chat.
Limo's next, thank God.
It's not finished.
And we've been joined live in the studio by friend of the show, Limo.
Hey, Limo. Hello, team.
It's been a while, 6 to 8 weeks since we've seen you. Where have you been?
Well, I've been away, Mick. I've been away with Kate Middleton. We've been on a little getaway together. Hello, Tash. We've been on Epstein Island together, Tash.
honestly.
Hey, steady on.
Hey, no one's using it at the moment.
Did Prince Andrew go with you? He would have been there for sure. Were you actually with her, or were you photoshopped into the picture?
Photoshopped in. You know what I think she's done? She's faked her own disappearance. She's had enough of the royal family. Mm. She's done it. Who was the Olivia Newton-John's?
Yes.
Her husband.
Patrick McDermott.
Oh, no.
Yeah, who was seen drinking Coronas on a beach bar in Mexico. But that's not a ringing endorsement, is it? If you're in a relationship, like I've had a couple of bad breakups, but when someone fakes their own death, you're a shit partner. Yeah, you know what? I am going to live it. I'm going to leave all my clothes down by the ocean and pretend I've walked out into it, and then off you go.
There we go. I reckon Kate Tash, she's currently sporting a fake moustache. She's somewhere in South America, and that's it. She has checked out. She has had enough of that royal family.
I believe that, Limo. I think she has checked out, and she's not playing ball, and that's why the royal family's threatening her allegedly.
Mm. All right, turn her mic off. Turn her mic off. She is done. Now, we were talking about the Easter show on the program. Do you have fond memories, or what are your memories of the Easter show? Starts up tomorrow, the Royal Easter Show.
Yes.
I love this stuff. It's real time capsule Aussie stuff. Rural meets city, country folk, all the great parts of this country coming together.
Well, that was the original point, wasn't it, to bring the country to the city? Yeah. But one of my enduring memories is I'd be walking down the street the day before the show with my mum.
Sure.
Right? And we would, if mum saw someone walking towards us who looked a bit dodgy, maybe they had a tattoo or something, we would cross the street to avoid them, right?
Right.
Yes.
Yet one day later, there's a bloke with face tattoos in charge of 300 tonnes of twisting metal, and mum just goes, there you go. Off to the nice man. He'll sort that out for you.
I trust my most precious possession into the hands of someone who hasn't been to bed for 5 days. Yes.
Straight to the carny folk.
What was your favourite ride?
I do. I love the Gravitron. I heard you talking about the Gravitron earlier.
We used to call the Rotor too. The Rotor, I think at one stage it was called.
Gravitron. And there was all, you had to watch where you were walking inside the Gravitron, because there was always a little bit of carrot and sweet corn floating around inside that.
Yeah, someone's up and under. Yeah.
Yeah.
It was, and then the floor would drop away. Is this one where you're stuck to the wall?
You're stuck to the wall,
the floor drops away and you just wedgie yourself. Like you go. Oh,
and no one gets off those rides looking like they've had a good time. Everyone gets off relieved that it's over.
And now it's been a while since we've seen you. You've got a couple of what the Fs for us. Hey,
what about that? Am I the last person in the world to work this out? Did you know that Teslas don't have a spare tyre?
What the f***? Why not?
Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
They don't have a spare tyre. So if you get a flat tyre in a Tesla, you've either got to fix it yourself, repair it, or get towed.
Well, that's a step backwards.
Elon Musk, he has sold 5.5 million Teslas.
Even get a spare tyre.
How many of those 5.5 million people do you reckon knew they weren't getting a spare tyre?
Oh, that's bullshit. Have you ever changed a spare tyre?
I have, yeah.
No, because MG hasn't.
What, you've never...
There's another what the F.
Yeah, here we go.
What the f***?
What are you
MG has
for?
Never changed a spare
How have
tire.
You never changed a tyre, MG?
I've never had to. I've usually had my dad around or one of my mates who are better than me.
Oh, hang on a sec. So there have been occasions where a tyre's had to be changed. You've called in someone else.
Oh, of course. Yeah, for any tyre.
But he won't do it himself. Right.
Lose your man card, don't you? If you can't change a tyre.
The Tesla's come a long way from the Volkswagen combi van, which used to have one on the front.
It
was like a schnoz. It was just like, you go, not only have I got it, I'm going to put it right up the front and let everyone know I've got a spare.
So Elon Musk has become the richest man in the world with money he saved from putting spare tyres in cars.
And he shot his own car into space.
Now, on Front Bar last night, Mickey, you were talking about the Tasmanian Devils.
Yeah.
The new team that's coming into Tasmania.
Yep.
And it got me. And now Devils is the obvious name, isn't it?
Well, that's right. You're not going to quibble with that.
No.
Although they did have to get permission off Warner's.
Oh, that's right.
Remember the Warner Brothers who actually owned the name Tasmanian Devil. Even though it was an animal that existed in Tasmania.
In Tasmania. And they came out and said Warner's were very reasonable in the negotiations to let them use Tassie Devils.
Yeah.
Anyway, so it got me thinking, what are the best sports team names around the world? I've got the top five for you. Here we go.
Yep.
This is a high school in Illinois, the Hoopston Area Corn Jerkers.
Go the Jerkers.
Oh, no.
That part of Illinois, I don't know how you draw a corn jerker, but that's the corn capital of the world. Next up, a soccer team from Santa Cruz, the Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
Oh, the Banana Slugs.
Banana Slugs.
Count me in. I'm a slugger from way back.
Made famous by John Travolta in Pulp Fiction, he's wearing a Banana Slugs T-shirt. Yeah. You know when he gets changed out of his bloody clothes?
Yes.
And he puts a T-shirt on. It's a Santa Cruz Banana Slugs.
There you go.
T-shirt. Wow. All right, coming to number three, a high school in Tennessee, the Chattanooga Central Purple Pounders.
Wow.
Not quite sure how you draw that one either. Coming to number two, a college in Connecticut, the Avon Old Farms winged beavers.
Oh, I'm a huge fan of the winged beavers.
Who doesn't love a winged beaver?
I'd like to be one of the guys, you know, who takes their top offs and they spell out winged beavers.
Winged beaver, yes. What a crew. And remember Elaine's boyfriend on Seinfeld?
Yes. Putty. Putty. Putty, you're right.
At the ice hockey with his mates.
Up in the face paint.
Yes. A face painter, yeah.
Yeah.
But coming in at number one, now this is an Aussie rules football team from the Northern Football League in Melbourne. From the area of Epping, they are known as, and I'm not making this up, and this is a football netball club.
Yes.
They've got junior grades. They are the Epping Pingers. The Epping Pingers.
Wow.
If you go to their website, it says Home of the Mighty Pingers. Here's their club song. If you
have we got it there? Yes, after every win.
The pingers go nuts.
That
is fantastic. Now, we can't let you go without plugging your gig, which is not till May the 10th, but we've already spoken about this with Dave O'Neill on this program. We're going to fill this joint. The Sydney Coliseum Theatre at Rudy Hill. Yes. You, Dave O'Neill, Brad Oakes, Mandy Nolan, and rising star Billy Styles.
Yes.
10th of May, get on board. We gave some tickets away, actually, the other day with Dave O'Neill.
Excellent. Hopefully we don't need to give too many more away. No. That's a big venue, though, I think.
We did the sums. It's 2,000.
Is it?
Yeah, it's 2,000.
Oh,
can we give some more tickets away?
Mate, you'll be fine. You are bloody funny. We know what you're up to. Thanks for coming on the show today.
We'll catch up
with you again soon. No, don't make it 6 to 8 weeks.
No, I've had enough of Kate. I won't be holidaying with her again. Thank you, team.
Adieu, mate.
You're listening to Mick and MG in the Morning on Triple M, and you can catch The Front Bar Wednesdays 8:30 on Channel 7 and 7 Plus.
That's right, and we have a question, and if you can answer this question correctly, you're off to gather round. What is the actual prize?
So
what are they playing for?
Two tickets to two matches to gather round in Adelaide. You get flights, you get accommodation, and you get to join the audience at The Front Bar live from Adelaide Oval, which is where you'll be.
Wow.
You get to see Sam Pang live in the flesh. You can throw stuff if that's what you want.
Yeah.
All right, it's one simple question. Fronting up is Joe. How are you, Joe?
Very well. Yourself?
That's the way. Were you watching The Front Bar last night, were you?
I was indeed, yes.
All right. I'm going to ask you a question from last night's show and you're going to give me the answer. It's multiple choice, so you get to choose the answer at the end. Okay. Listen up. Sydney Swans champion Greg Williams was named part of what team in 1996? A, Carlton Team of the Century. B, Most Suspended Player Team of the Century. Or C, AFL Team of the Century. Answer, please, Joe.
It was C.
C, AFL Team of the Century. Let's go to the videotape.
Of all the honours and accolades that have been bestowed upon you, the 1996 centenary of footy, the Team of the Century, how big an honour was it to be part of that
team? Team of the Century.
Joey.
Well done.
Well done. Joe, who are you going to take?
Might take my son, actually.
What a great father-son bonding experience. That's like me and Andy. It's like my dad. Right, you'll have great fun. We look forward to hosting you and can't wait to see you in the studio audience of The Front Bar for Gather Round. What a round. Good on you, Joe. You're a winner, mate.
Cheers, boys. Thank you so much.
Good on you.
Mick and MG in the Morning. Brought to you by Sportsbet. Nobody does it easier than Sportsbet. Mick and MG in the Morning. Weekdays from 6 on Sydney's Triple M.